This morning our scripture comes from Ephesians chapter 6. I know in your bulletin it says John, but the more I looked over this sermon, I decided, I like Ephesians better. So Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 4 says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you, and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Fathers, do not exasperate," or I'm going to add there, irritate your children. "Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord." If the role of the husband is the most important one that a man will play this side of heaven, then the role of dad is definitely number two. When children have a dad who is a positive role model, it can make a big difference in the future life of their children. Dr. George Reekers wrote about the effects of a positive father figure on his children. He said, "A positive and continuous relationship to one's father has been found to be associated with good self-concept, higher self-esteem, higher self-confidence in personal and social interaction, higher moral maturity, reduced rates of unwed teen pregnancy, greater internal control, and higher career aspirations for the children. Fathers who are affectionate, nurturing, and actively involved in child rearing are more likely to have well-adjusted children." Well, what does a father need to do to be the father that God calls him to be? One thing that a father must do is to be a provider. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8 says, "If anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for his immediate family, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever." The type of family arrangement a child lives in is associated with a household's economic income. A recent Pew Research Center analysis found that 30% of solo mothers or single mothers and their families are living in poverty, compared with 17% single fathers with their families, and 16% of families headed by a cohabitating couple. In comparison, 8% of married couple families are living below the poverty line. Quite a big difference. Men have to be persuaded that bringing up children is a very important part of their life. Motherhood has been praised to the limits. But the greatest praise men can give to that role is for them to share in doing it. And that quote comes from United States Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg. When it comes to single parent households, the typical perception that society has is that the father has skipped out on the family for some reason, leaving the mother to raise the children. And sometimes these dads are called deadbeat dads because they don't even pay child support. They do create a problem for society because many kids don't have the resources that they really deserve. There are, of course, fathers out there who want to support their children, but just don't have the financial ability to do so. There is a big difference between a father trying to support his children and a father who is simply ignoring them. I saw that so often in the educational field. When there are meetings, there always is the mom, but many times you don't see the dad, even if they could come. 34.1% of families in the United States are under an order to pay child support to their children right now. Only 72.9% of children are actually receiving the child support that they have been court ordered to receive. The most common reason why fathers decide not to pay child support is because they don't receive any visitation rights, or so the study says. Not only must fathers provide for their children economically, but they must provide for them spiritually. The Apostle Paul wrote a letter to Titus, which has been traditionally used as the role model for elders of the church. Yet I think it could be used for fathers as well. The scripture comes from Titus chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. In the place of elder, I have inserted father. The father must be blameless, the husband of one wife, a man whose children believe and are not open to the charge of being wild and disobedient. Since an overseer is entrusted with God's work, he must be blameless. Not overbearing, not quick-tempered, not given to drunkenness, not violent, not pursuing dishonest gain. Rather, he must be hospitable, one who loves what is good, one who is self-controlled, upright, holy, and disciplined. He must hold firmly to the trustworthy message as it has been taught, so that he can encourage others by sound doctrine and refute those who oppose it. Imagine fathers. Imagine mothers. What this world would be like if parents had those characteristics. What a wonderful place this world could be. As fathers, we must also provide a safe and healthy place for our children. Here's a letter to all fathers. She was blonde and beautiful, with azure eyes and a tumble of tawny curls. At 3 years of age, she would climb into her daddy's lap, snuggle up with a wide, satisfied smile and purr, "This is my safe place." And so it was. Dads, you are the safe place. You are the protector and the provider. And when you gather us for a time with God, we need a safe place. A safe place, not a lecture or sermon all the time. I know my son used to say that to me. "Dad, don't give me a sermon. Just tell me what I need to know." Of course, I'd give him that plus a little bit more, but that was probably the lecture or sermon. Did that with the girls too. A very human dad who simply cares about God and us. We don't need or even want a spiritual giant. We don't all have to have Billy Graham in our lives. It would be nice. But dads, we just want you. And we need a gathering time where it's safe to say to one another, How are you and the Lord getting along, son or daughter? How can we pray today? We need a safe place to cry and laugh, sing and rejoice, challenge, share, and sometimes not to share, and have it be okay. Sometimes it's just that silence when they're in your lap and they just want to be held. We need a time with you that's relaxed, unstiff, when we can pray honestly in simple sentences from our hearts. It can be unfixed, unrigid, unroutine, unshackled. We need a place where irregular opinions are respected. Now, I'm sure that all of you have had times where your kids have said something to you and you said, "Where in the world did that come from?" But where God also has the last word. We need a gentleman leader in our family. Not a general, not an autocrat, not a dictator. Someone who's gracious, relaxed, and above all, simply human. A family shepherd who exhibits not infallible authority, but a thirst for God. Every day? Well, that would be great. Often? Oh, yeah. Long? No, it doesn't have to be long. Where? It can be anywhere. Sometimes even just driving down the road. We may need heavy-duty confessing to each other and to God. Sometimes we may just need silent prayer. Sometimes exuberant praise when something really great has happened. And sometimes just getting the old Bible out and studying it. See what God says. So dads, thanks for listening. Remember, we need you because you are family. As fathers, we must provide guidance by example. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 20, it states, "Fathers, do not embitter your children, or they will become discouraged." Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, which was part of our scripture earlier, states, "Remember, fathers, do not exasperate or irritate your children." They even have that on the church sign, if you happen to see that. "Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord." As a father, we need to set correct priorities and model the behavior that's desired. As a father, we will get whatever behavior we model. Sometimes I used to have parents come in and say, "I don't know where they picked up those words." And then I'd hear the parents out in the hall as they're talking to the kids and saying, "Oh yeah, I guess I do know where they got those words." We need to pray with our children first for help in difficult situations, such as times of sickness, problems at school, poor attitudes, helping our children as they look at career paths, higher education, and above all, selecting mates. You know, one thing that I know that Cheryl and I did with our kids in particular, we prayed a lot for the selection of their careers, as well as the selection of their mates. It's so important. We need to establish that no topic is out of bounds to talk about. But we also must respect the power of our words. And I know I have said things to my kids that I later regretted saying and had to apologize for. Because sometimes even dads make mistakes that we have to let kids know that we apologize for. One startling bit of research conducted by the Christian Businessmen's Committee found the following. When the father is an active believer, there is about a 75% likelihood that the children will also become active believers. If only the mother is a believer, this likelihood is dramatically reduced to just 15%. 15%. One day, a fatherless boy was sitting at a table having lunch in a restaurant. An older gentleman saw the young boy and said to him, "Who are you, son? Who's your father?" The young boy didn't want to say anything because he didn't know his father. So he just looked down at the floor. But as the older gentleman looked down at the boy, studying his face, the older gentleman began to smile. A big smile of recognition. "Wait a minute," he said. "I know who you are. I see the family resemblance. You are a son of God." With that, he tapped the young boy on the shoulder and said to him, "Boy, you're going to have a great inheritance. Go and claim it." You know, whether it is our children, grandchildren, or great-grandchildren, or whether we're even uncles or just friends of the family, let us help our children claim God's inheritance as well. In God's precious name, amen.